This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Suarez not going away as they head to three.
Daniel Suarez, rookie driver, leads the field.
I am so impressed with Daniel Suarez. This is a young man that's going to be in the Cup Series driving a car for someone before too many years go by.
He will be the first ever international champion in NASCAR.
Daniel's Amigos, a fan-focused movement led by Coca-Cola to engage with Latino NASCAR fans.
Daniel Suarez, he will be driving next season for the newly formed Trackhouse Racing team.
I'm excited for this team this year. Trackhouse, Justin Marks, and Pitbull's a part owner in this race team too. I love what they're doing, bringing some entertainment to NASCAR.
And now on the outside lane, advancing to the lead, well, that's Daniel Suarez.
Move Daniel Suarez and Trackhouse Racing to the top.
I'm big into cars, all cars.
Ooh, let's talk, ooh.
So I want to build a one-bedroom house with a 30-car garage.
That's my dream. Serious, too.
Yeah, and I love cars, man. That's actually what I grew up doing. I didn't grow up in racing. I grew up in cars. That led me into...
Working on cars?
I grew up, you know, being a mechanic, you know, working in engine suspensions, and I know how to do most of that stuff. And eventually, you know, that got me into going fast and racing. And if it wasn't because one of my father's customer, I don't think I would have made it into racing.
Really?
Yeah, one of his customer's son was into racing, and that's how.
So, I mean, was it go-kart racing at the time?
Go-kart racing at the time. Yeah, at the time I was only 10 years old.
Right.
So I was a kid.
You know? You think you can beat us in kart racing?
With one hand.
With one hand?
With one hand. Right. This finger, I broke this finger in a wreck, in a go-kart wreck. And I had a race that weekend, that coming weekend. And I had to race, I was fighting for the championship. I had to race with one hand. It was kind of funny because after a couple of weeks that the cast was going out, I had like a little
splint.
Like a splint on this finger. And I was doing this to people. I was driving like this.
Right.
But the first weekend, actually, I was driving with one hand. Right. And I needed to finish in the top five to be able to win the championship. It was the last race of the season. And I finished second. And since then, I started telling all my friends, I can beat all of you guys with one hand.
One hand. Oh, that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful.
We're showing.
Right. Yeah.
I'm hell on the highway now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I go
there
through.
You go.
Yeah. 95.
So, do you feel that pressure? Like, is that? Do you carry that weight knowing that there's a lot of people, you know, waiting for you to win?
Yes and no. And I want to tell you why. Yes, because I'm the only Mexican, Latino, that can actually speak the language. But no, because I don't see it as a pressure. I see it more as a responsibility, you know, because we in a way, we representate a whole community, you know, that is a community that is not the same community that everyone else, you know, 95% of the sport is able to connect natural, you know. So, yeah, man, I do believe that there is always a little bit of pressure, but I see it more as a responsibility.
But you roll deep, though, I heard, because you got the shirt on. I heard about Daniel's Amigos now. I heard, don't come out there talking crazy if you're racing. How did Daniel's Amigos get started? And would I get slapped if I said something wrong about you?
No, man. No, you would never get slapped. But listen, how Daniel's Amigos started, when I was trying to come to the United States in 2011, I had one goal only. That was win races and win championships. I didn't care about anything else. I didn't care what I had to do, how to do it. That's all I care about. As I started getting into the sport, I started to understand more of the sport. I started to understand the people. I start to understand the impact I was doing, not just with all the drivers, but with other mechanics and with fans, Hispanic fans.
Right.
And then I realized that I needed to do something else more than just winning races and championships. And I realized that I was the only one that was going to be able to do something like this. So I really wanted to the Hispanic community to see this as, hey, you know, we can come here together and there is a Hispanic driver and there is, you know, Hispanic mechanics and stuff like that. And that's how Daniel's Amigos started. And we start bringing a group of Hispanic people to a racetrack with a unique experience and giving them something else that they cannot buy. Nobody can buy this.
Which is interesting because when you think about Bubba, you know, because Bubba's just like I love driving, right? And this comes with it. It's cool. I love his approach. But Bubba, when we look at Bubba, it's like, man, how do we get more black and brown people in the sport, right? And hearing you talk, when you talk about that responsibility, you have an opportunity to expand NASCAR beyond the borders, right? That's interesting. Why do we as athletes feel this responsibility that we have to do more? Why can't we just, you love driving, right? You fell in love with it. That's where it started. Us as athletes, it just started like, we just want to play ball. And then as you grow up and you get older and you move up the ranks, now you have this responsibility. Why do we feel that? Why does that come with it?
We start with love, with passion.
Right.
And that start becoming something bigger and bigger. And we start becoming role models of the sport. And then that's when the responsibility comes because we have many eyes looking at us. And then you just have to do the right thing.
Right.
You know, I never thought I was going to be in this position right now. When I was coming to the United States 10 years ago, I didn't have anyone to call, to ask for an advice, to do anything about how to get to this point.
Right.
Right now, there is a lot of kids from Mexico.
You couldn't even speak English.
I couldn't even speak English, so right. I couldn't even communicate with you guys if I wanted to. But right now, there is a lot of kids from Mexico that I know, and they call me. You know, they reach out to me. Hey, this is the right path. Hey, should I go test this racetrack or that car? I didn't have that. I had to go and make mistakes.
Right.
And do it right, and make mistakes, and do it right, and do it, you know what I mean?
Right.
The Drive for Diversity program from NASCAR helped me a lot, but that was more down the road. But in the very beginning, I didn't have anything. And now I feel like there is more kids that they do have someone, that someone is me. So, you know, and that comes with responsibility. Like, I can just, you know, do not see that and just move on. You know, that's part of the role that I have as a Mexican driver in the sport.
In the last 4 or 5 years, we hear a lot in the media about the things that happen at our borders. 2011 is when you started your journey here, right? Could you just touch on that a little bit? Because kids out there, they have hope, they have dreams, but you're going to inspire a whole generation, you know, and people on the other side of the wall, per se.
Yeah.
Like, what was that journey like?
As you guys may know or may imagine, to be a race car driver, you have to be lucky. You need to have support from your family. And you have to have some kind of money because racing is not cheap.
Mm,
you know,
right.
It's difficult. I didn't grow up with a family with money. You know, I didn't grow up with a family with money at all. My father has a restoration shop. You know, you can have money doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
right.
You know, with that being said, when I moved to the U.S. in 2011, I didn't speak English. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any money at the time. I didn't have sponsors to come to the United States. All I had was a dream and a car that I drove all the way from Mexico to the United States. So if you think about it, a lot of the people that come from my country, from Mexico, from different places in Latin America, that they are trying to look for those opportunities, they're trying to break that barrier. They come to this country exactly the same way I came to this country, just trying to look for the opportunities. I mean, I didn't have anything. The first 6 months, I was living with friends of friends. I couldn't even afford to rent my own apartment. Wow. So when I tell people where I am today and where I was 10 years ago, that gives people inspiration to say, hey, if this guy can do it, why I can't do it?
I love sitting down with just people and getting into the mindset and the psyche. Like, there's some guys just wired differently, and you can feel it right away. When you walk in the locker room, you walk on the field, we get in the huddle, you know, man, that guy's just different. When you walked in, I'm just like, man, this dude is a... You love the sport, you love the car, you know everything about the engine. Like, you are the real deal, right? You talked about passion, and I think as an athlete, I think you guys are an athlete, Channing, he's still debating that, right? But as an athlete, there's a fine line between losing passion and confidence. 2018, 2019, you as a premier driver, like, that was almost gone. Like, even, like, to get to where you're at now, like, in 11th hour, you're able to find a home, you know? So during that time, did you ever struggle with confidence, or did you have to look yourself in the mirror like, no, I know who I am. I came to this country with a dream, and I know I'm a badass, right? Like, I know I can get that done.
You know, racing is very tough when it comes to having yourself mentally tough to be able to stay on top of your game. And the reason why I'm saying that is because every single athlete has to have that, like you mentioned. You have to have that something inside of you that I'm sure that you guys are very, very lucky to have it, and I have it as well. It's that desire, that fire inside, that competition. I mean, I can remember since I was 7 years old, I used to be super competitive with my friends. With that being said, I feel like racing, the difference between racing and probably most of the other sports is that every single race that we do, we are racing against 39 other teams, other race car drivers at the same time. And in reality, you lose more races than when you win. This is one versus 39. The odds to win races are less than losing. So you have to be very mentally tough,
right?
Because you are going to have good moments, but you're going to have bad moments too. And for me, the most important part is how strong you can bounce back.
No, I feel like you're a tough guy, 100%, right? And I think there's a lot we can learn from athletes, right? Because we go through a lot of stress. We manage a lot. There's ups and downs, but we still got to go out there and compete. I know you're built differently. I know you're built, you're wired differently. But I feel like there was a moment, there had to be a moment where like, man, I don't know if this is for me, right? Like, yeah, you came in, you won trucks. You won Xfinity.
Be quick, because I was going to go back,
right,
back further than that. You come to the U.S., you say you were living with friends, people you didn't even know.
I didn't know.
What was the breakthrough point of, to the point you're talking, I think this point, and let me know if I'm wrong, that point when what happened that you knew you could be a NASCAR driver? There's people that love to play football. I love football. I love the game. I watch it all day. You can't play in the NFL. You just love football. You love cars. You love driving. That doesn't mean you can be a NASCAR driver. When you got here, like, was there a moment that turned that over where the knowledge of cars, the ability to drive can turn into something huge like
right,
this?
Right.
I think that might be that moment. What was that moment?
Well, I was very fortunate that I was already very successful in Mexico. But the competition, the level, everything is different. When I came to the U.S., it was a whole different game. It was very difficult. Many times I doubted. Many times I doubted, is this actually for me? Is this something that I have to do? But for me, something that actually kept me going all the time was the sacrifices that my family had to do to give me that shot. Every single time I was thinking on that, I was thinking, there is no way I'm going to let them down. And there is no way I will make this not work because of me. I have to make this work. Like, for me, it was never an option to fail.
So, don't know what the hell happened at SHR. Don't know. But now you're at Trackhouse, right? Talk to me about that. Pit Bull's over there. Do you guys feel like y'all be in position to compete in the next year or so for a championship?
Listen, something about racing, and you guys will, you guys know this because obviously you guys came from this environment, is that it's everything about people, right? It doesn't matter who you are with. You can be with the best team of 2020, but if 2021 you don't have the same people, it doesn't work, right? It's
right.
Everything about people. And I've been very fortunate to be part of amazing organizations. I have learned a lot. And I have learned that you need to have, to be able to pull the train, you have to have all the people in the right places and all the people pulling in the same direction. And when I'm talking about the people, I'm talking from the driver all the way to the people that is working to try to find opportunities, sponsors and stuff like that, and moving people around. So there is a lot of things. And the opportunity that I have right now with Trackhouse, with Pitbull, is the best opportunity I ever had. And the reason of that is because these guys, they trust on my talent. Right. They trust on myself. They trust on what I can do.
Does Pitbull, like, walk around the garage, like, singing and stuff?
Sometimes. He's a little crazy, yeah, sometimes. You know. I love that guy, man.
I heard your garage is pretty cool, you know, from, you know, ex-driver, now owner, where he comes with energy. I listened to one of your, you know, your interviews, and you're like, man, just the energy in our garage and just in our building and what we do from Pitbull, you know, it's just amazing. You know, talk to me about the energy. You know what I mean? That's flowing through your team and your organization.
Yeah, Pitbull, honestly, he does bring a lot of energy to a team. He's somebody that actually, I really connect very good with him for the reason that he comes from nothing. You know, he came from actually probably even a worse situation than me. You know, he came from a family. He says it this way. I came from a negative to a positive. And he say, you know what? If I'm here, there's only one way to go, right?
That's right.
It's up. Yeah. It's positive. That's right. You have everything to gain, nothing to lose. So I admire a lot Pitbull. He's a great guy. He's very humble. He's grounded. And he's so successful, man. And the energy that he has, that he trusts me to people, it's incredible. Like, you can feel it, you know? Like, as soon as I walk in, we start connecting to each other, and we can feel each other.
Right.
As soon as you see this guy for 5 seconds, you can feel that. Right. You can feel that energy. You can feel how positive he is, how smart he is.
All right, so someone told me you listen to a lot of, what type of music you listen to? I'll let you tell it.
I like reggaeton a lot, man. People music is very, very good. I like Spanish music a lot.
Right.
Spanish.
Who are you listening to?
Pitbull, honestly, is one of my favorite for a long time.
Come on, man, don't be a politician. Yeah, of course you're going to say Pitbull.
I like Enrique Iglesias, he's good too. Uh-huh. I like him a lot.
You going to his show tonight?
Wisin and Yandel, huh?
You going to his show tonight?
Which show? Enrique's?
Yeah.
No, I have to.
Gotta
I have
get a race ready tomorrow. Yeah, I know. See, that's a trick question.
This is like Drew Brees. If you're a football player, it's like your energy and your demeanor is like Drew Brees. It's like, I'm about my business.
It seems that way, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get messy here. I like to get messy a little bit. All right, cool. Who's the guy on the track that's like, man, I want to kick his? Who's that one?
Man, I want to.
Come on, Mr. Nice Guy.
I want to tell you, actually, after I tell you what I'm going to tell you, you're going to think that I'm the opposite. I don't have friends in the racetrack.
Ooh.
I say these.
I don't think anything's wrong with you.
No.
No, because that's what I mean by being wired differently. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
How do you need friends? Right. There's only one person that can come in first.
That's it.
Well, you're going to have a friend because you're about to add a new car. You're going to have a teammate, so you have to play nice with him.
You bring your friends to a racetrack. You don't have friends in the racetrack. With that being said, you know, I get along extremely well with many drivers. But once you're in the racetrack, you can have friends. Like, if my best friend was racing against me and we're racing the last lap to move him out of the way, I would feel bad to move him out of the way.
Right.
But you can't have that connection. Like, I have friends. I have always said this. I have friends in the racetrack, but close friends I don't have.
I know, but there's always that guy, though. Don't be that guy. Yeah, but that's always that guy. There's always that guy. You know, Kyle Busch is Kyle Busch rowdy, but then there's that Joey Logano.
It's different. It's different because I'm not the guy that goes to an interview to talk trash. I'm not the guy that is gonna go to, you know, to do all this kind of stuff like some of all the drivers do. All I'm saying is that I have a line, you know? Like, I have a line between my close friends and my friends.
Right.
And the ones in the racetrack are friends. Right. Why? Because I'm trying to kick their butt every single weekend.
So I love it.
They can be close.
Right. You know
what? It can be close.
Is it a switch? Could we sit you down like this 15 minutes before a race? Could you logically talk like you are right before you get in your car?
Yes.
And still go out there and have that edge? Because before a football game, I was a lunatic. I was literally trying to, if your neck broke, your neck broke. Like, it is what it is, you got on the field with me. You could sit down and have a logical conversation and then go out there and dominate on the track.
I feel like in a way we're kind of trained to that. You know, every time that we have a race, right before the race, we have the national anthem. We have people there, guests, that they want to take pictures with you with the car.
Yep.
But something that happens very often to me is that if I have a meet and greet with a sponsor 1 hour before the race, I can't remember the names, their faces and everything. If you're asking me to take a picture with people like 30 minutes before the race, I'm already in my zone. Like, I'm there, my body's there, and I can smile and have a picture, but I'm already thinking on the race, right. The SSA, the restarts, tires.
So I want to expand on that. What's your routine? You know, preparation the week of, right. You know, how's your mindset? Do you have a routine? Do you eat a certain way?
Yeah.
Do you listen to certain music?
I do have a routine. It doesn't change through the racetrack to racetrack. It's always the same routine. Taking care of my body is something extremely important, especially for you guys. You know, you guys...
We're missing one who eats McDonald's every day.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right.
I don't. But I try to eat very, very good. I try to sleep well. I have to be eating good carbs, good protein, 2 hours and a half right before the race. I already had an accident when I... when I too close to the race, we're talking about.
When you say accident, hold on. What do you mean? Is the one where you threw up, or yeah, is man. That the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, he threw up on himself.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't. Actually, it wasn't because I
and his
ate
helmet.
In the helmet. Ooh. Not just that, but I continued to race like that.
With everything.
Not just that. We were filming something that weekend and isn't
we got it on camera?
We have it.
Can
on
you
camera.
Guys send it to us so we can put it in the show?
No,
what you mean? No. What you talking about?
So that weekend, man, I have a routine and it can change. When it comes to food, I'm quite picky and I'm quite in a way a little delicate. So I have to stay in my routine. And for some reason that day I just ate something a little funky. I mean it wasn't funky, but it was something that it just didn't got me well. And in the middle of the race I start feeling bad, man. I start feeling a little dizzy, I start feeling weak. And eventually I start feeling it. And probably 15 laps I threw up, man, for one lap complete. This is gonna be nasty, man. But I had to
I
open the shield.
We're gonna get the video.
I had to open the shield, man, and it was like a fountain.
Jeez,
it was nasty, man. After I threw up, right. You know, we still had 10 laps left in the race, and I felt fine. I started going like crazy. I wanted to be done.
Right. That's good. Listen, I want to get into, you know, I want to expand the conversation more to, like, we talk about team a lot. So I want to bring in Coach Rocco. NASCAR drive for that diversity program, and we'll talk about, you know, what's up, Coach?
The crew. What's up, brother?
What's up, guys?
How important is a Rocco, you know, to be a part of your team?
Pit crews are extremely important because the easiest way to lose or gain spots is on pit road. These guys, they just work extremely hard. Not too long ago, I was watching a race from 10 years ago. And 10 years ago...
I told you he's different. Watching a race from 10 years ago.
Why?
Why?
No idea. He's being humble on his differentness.
Right. And I already know, but you can tell. There's something in you, right, where you can know you're just...
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Different, you're set apart, I'm telling you. But go ahead, finish your story.
At the time, they had probably two or three more guys, and they were like 5 seconds slower than what we are today. So that tells you how far the sport has come with the whole pit crew deal. I mean, these guys are athletes. I mean, look at this guy.
Have you heard of the Rocco rule?
The Rocco rule.
You don't know the Rocco rule?
That was before. That might have been right when you were getting in.
Does anybody know about the Rocco rule, or you just made that up?
No, they
gotta
fact
check you.
The officials know about it. The people that know about it. Danielle was young. I used to throw my tire from the right side headlight, bounce it over the wall so we didn't have to worry about uncontrolled tires from the guys missing it.
I got you. So you were boom,
boom, and it went over. Now they changed that rule after about 6 races of me doing that to you have to bring all your equipment back in a controlled manner over the wall and you cannot throw it over.
When you were at Hendrick?
With Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
So Rocco, you know, you said he's being modest.
He is being modest. He doesn't even know why we like him and why he's here.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't even realize. I love you.
It's not because we like Scarfix. Right. We all do. But you got the dog in you. And let me just tell you a story. I pitted his car when he was in his young 20s on a truck series race. And he went, and just what we go through as pit crew members breaking in a new sport, there's a lot of unknowns and barriers we have to cross to assimilate into this NASCAR world. There's so many crew chiefs, mechanics, and other drivers like himself who packed their stuff up, moved on a whim, and hoped to get involved in a sport. And it has been very successful. That's one reason why you relate. Then to, as a crew member, a black crew member, to hear a driver who doesn't speak English trying to interpret what he's feeling to a car. And I'm not going to say any teams, but to gentlemen who kind of mock you in a way, you know, with your accent. But you ignore that and have the perseverance still to finish second at Dover. Or wherever you finish that Dover with all that drama.
Right.
And
I still remember that race. I should have won it, man.
It was crazy just to see that. And this dude can't speak English. Too. That's why it resonates with all of y'all and us, because we've had that dog with us. Y'all are professional and been at the best at your top level. A lot of drivers don't have that.
So is my gut right?
Right.
When you know what I'm saying? Because when I sat down with Bubba, as soon as he walked, he was like, he's like, he's a boss, man. Right? And then it's same. Well, yeah. I mean, and I like Rowdy, and Rowdy's a boss. Obviously been super successful. We had Dale. Steve on the show. He said he could go down potentially as one of the greatest.
Dale.
One of the
great, yeah. Kyle.
Tell like,
when
about
you sit down, right. when you sit down with the dogs, I throw myself under the bus here. I had guys on my team Sunday before the game, they'd come up to me and they'd be like, I play with B. And they'd be like, Crowder, because they wanted to check on me because they didn't know if I went out Saturday night. Because they had to make sure, hey, bro, you good? Like, were you in bed? Did you get your sleep? As a pit crew guy, I want both of y'all to answer. As a pit crew guy and as a driver, do y'all look to, like you're saying, it's pieces, the whole hierarchy of a team, yep. Owner to the mechanics, yep. To all that, to the pit crew, to the driver, whatever the hierarchy is.
On now, race that hierarchy day, look like this, what you just said.
Right. He said owner,
and then down with the mechanic.
I know owner's up top, but when it starts going down like this, I don't know. Is that why I did this? Just to, we're learning NASCAR. I don't know those other levels of the food pyramid in NASCAR. But do y'all, you know, Sunday morning, race on Sunday. Sunday, as a pit crew guy, would you go and check on your driver? And as a driver, would you go and be like, are y'all ready today? Because
Let me answer first.
All this success is riding together. Win and loss, y'all going to win or lose together.
It's put it this way. I had a driver. Mark Martin is a future Hall of Famer, best driver, one of the best drivers. And I probably said two or three words to him while I was pitting his car. I asked Mark, because Mark Martin was a Gucci Mane. He was all on Gucci Mane. Knew I was from Atlanta. I would update his playlist, you know, when he was working out. But when he would do that, I was like, Mark, man, you don't really talk to anybody else. And he told me one of the hardest things I had to do as a driver is when y'all mess up is fire y'all. So I'd rather not get close.
Oh, that's Bill Belichick.
I'd rather not get close.
Ooh.
You know, for the simple fact that when the hard decisions are being made, you know, I want to be clear, clairvoyant with that. So, you know, each driver is different, you know, in that regard. Some communicate very well on the track with you. Some will have you wanting to meet at their hauler at the end after you made a mistake because we're human. But at the same time, the common goal is to win. And if you have individuals who question winning or question, you know, you getting yelled at or you make a mistake and you being held accountable, that's not the type of dude you want on your team anyways.
Right. I agree and I disagree. And the reason of that is because I just think that as a team, you have to be united. You know, you have to be positive. You have to be mind positive to drive the train into that direction. And if you don't do your job, or somebody doesn't do their job, maybe the train is going to go, but it won't go as fast. So, you know, I really try hard to have a good relationship with every single team member of my team, because, man, I hang out with my team way more than I hang out with anyone else.
That's
my
right.
family and
That's
everyone.
Right.
You know, like we are together, and we are when we messed up, you have to see the problem, but then support each other to overcome that and come back stronger. Like it happens all the time you know, in pit stops. As
Short
a driver,
term memory.
When I make a mistake, I already know that I make the mistake. I don't need somebody in my ear say, hey, why you made stop, you know? Like pit crews, it happens all the time as well. Sometimes you have to play, you know, in the game of being positive and say, hey,
right.
How can I help you?
You
made
a
mistake. How
though.
Can I help you to be better?
Mm-hmm.
And move on. The mistake is already done. Don't stay in the mistake because if not, we're going to make another one. We have 10 more stops to go.
You're speaking our language. Mm-hmm. You know, a second ago, you said, everybody do your job. You said, that's Belichick. That is Belichick. You know, and earlier you talked about being a people's person. You were Joe Gibbs for 2 years?
Well, no, four years.
For 4 years. One of the greatest coaches, obviously, in our sport and in your sport as a owner, right? What'd you learn over there? You know, because you speak about being a people person.
Right.
Joe Gibbs says...
It takes people.
It takes people.
Yeah, he prides
right?
himself on the people.
So what was your experience like over there? And what did you learn that can help you guys at Trackhouse?
Yeah.
You know, grow and
so,
be one at a time.
I was at Joe Gibbs in 15, 16, 17, and 18. So I was there 4 years. I won the Rookie of the Year, 15. I won the championship in 16, and then I went to a Cup Series.
Yeah, talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all that kind of stuff.
You know
But I learned some tough lessons there. It's an amazing team, amazing organization. They do take care of a lot of the people, but just like a lot of big teams, there is always people that is just taking care of their own interests, you know?
Right.
I like to use this term. I was a puppy, man. You know, I was a puppy. I was new into the sport. I was just learning. I was fresh from winning the championship. And
you were popular with me.
Yeah.
So think you weren't popular.
Like whatever.
Okay.
Whatever you were telling me, I was saying, yeah, that's good, man. Let's work together.
Let's go.
So I felt like there were a lot of things that I wish I can go back in time with the experience I have today.
Right.
And do all those
we
things
all
because now my mind is in a completely different level. The experience that I didn't have, but unfortunately the people that was around me, they were not looking 100% for me.
Right.
So unfortunately it just didn't last, you know, it just didn't work out. I have a lot of respect for many people there. But it happens, you know, those are lessons that you have to do it. If it wasn't happening at Joe Gibbs, maybe it was going to happen somewhere else, and maybe today I wouldn't be what I am today with people, mm-hmm. Trackhouse,
correct.
And the incredible team that I have today. If you can tell me right now, Daniel, for next year, you can be whatever you want. Trackhouse, Hendrick, Gibbs, whatever you want. Where do you want to go?
Right.
I promise you, it's Trackhouse. Mm-hmm. For the future, where are we going? The people that we have. People.
Right.
People is everything.
This next gen thing, my understanding is that now the cars are going to be more equal. Everybody's going to have the equal out the box parts. As a driver, how do y'all? Because I got Rocco's perspective, Rocco, because you always going to jump in. Rocco, I know what you think. How do the drivers feel about this next gen, you know, approach with NASCAR?
It's the future, man. It's the future. If you think about it, 10 years ago, teams used to develop everything, parts, engines, suspensions, bodies, chassis, everything. Right now, they still do. The difference is that NASCAR is controlling that. So NASCAR is telling the teams, hey, you are building 10 different design chassis per year. Now you can only do 3. So NASCAR slowly has been limiting that because teams are spending way too much money. Teams are not smart. They spend money.
Too much money.
They get the money and they spend it. So what they're going to do next is that instead of having Hendrick, Trackhouse, Ganassi, Gibbs, everyone design their own everything separate to save money, they're going to say, you know what? You are going to build the chassis for everyone. You are going to build the bodies for everyone. You are going to build the brakes for everyone. You are going to build the whatever. But that is going to make the sport more even. And in the long term, it's going to be way more, you know, beneficial for the sport because
that makes sense.
Everyone
I never heard it.
But it also puts it on you.
Of course.
We're driving the same car now. You said, you could beat us driving these go-karts with one hand.
Like right now.
Now we got the same go-kart, Daniel. We got the same go-kart, bro. Can you put one hand?
I'm going to tell you something. Tomorrow I'm going to race. I have a Chevy Camaro, right?
Right.
My Chevy Camaro today, unfortunately, is not making the same downforce than the Chevy Camaro that Hendrick has. That's the reality. That's not a secret. If you look to the car, it's exactly the same. But unfortunately, we're not making the same downforce. Why? Because they have done different things to develop the body different.
Kyle Larson. He's a beast.
Yeah.
Why is car so fast?
It's a combination. He's a very good driver with today the best team. Hendrick is the best team this year.
Right.
But you have to remember something. Racing is like a roller coaster. So a roller coaster is like this, man.
Right.
You're up, you're down. 3 years ago, Hendrick couldn't race for the life.
Really?
They suck. They were horrible. Right now?
Really?
Right? Yeah. It's 3 years ago, they couldn't win. They couldn't do anything. Racing is a roller coaster, man.
And then what? A couple months ago, they go 1, 2, 3,
right now,
4 in Nashville.
Right now, everyone wants to be a Hendrick because they're super fast.
Right.
But everything is like a roller coaster. And you have to train to stay on top as long as possible. And when you're coming down, hurry up to try to come back up.
But
it's difficult.
That's racing.
Next year, there is a lot of things that you and I, we're going to race with the same tools. It's just the difference is going to be how we work with those tools. You know, how much the setup and stuff like that. But everyone will have the same starting up. And I think that for the future of the sport, I think every single sport, racing sport, more sport in the world, in 5 years from now, they're going to be doing this.
All right. So the landing plane, 5 years from now. So you want to talk about 5 years from now. Give me the top 5 drivers in order.
Daniel Suarez first.
Told you that dog.
By a mile.
Yeah! My dog.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I truly believe that there is amazing things coming for us. The future looks very, very good. I'm very happy where I'm at. Very, very fortunate. And I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm ready for battle, and I can guarantee you something. I'm as hungry as anyone, or hungrier than any other driver out there. And I want to win.
I wish I can come out of retirement. Like, I want to play tomorrow.
No, you can. You can change his tire.
No. I'm talking about in my sport.
Exactly.
Your sport is tough. Your sport's tough. I can't do it. I'm just telling you now, I wouldn't be able to do it.
You can't change a tire? You can't be a jack boy?
No. I'm just talking about what I just heard.
Mm-hmm.
He puts you in the, I can go to war with him.
Right. You know that motivation. Like,
ask him about Michael McDowell. I'm trying to tell you why you can go to war with him, because when he gets pissed off and he sees red.
That's what I want to see.
He sees red. Google it.
Yeah,
Daniel Suarez sees red, increases crew member up.
I don't want to Google it. We got him here. Rocco, he's sitting here.
All I'm saying is I wasn't at the racetrack, and then I happened to turn the TV on, and all I see is Daniel Suarez with a fistful of somebody's lapels and their feet dangling off the ground, and they're saying, no, I'm sorry, my bad, and he yules them down.
And they had to, man,
I've never seen that on you.
Let me tell you, that was a very funny day, and I'm gonna tell you why. Well, first of all, you know, I grew up in Mexico, and I grew up in a neighborhood where, you know, I went to public school, and to be able to survive in in the school that I was going, you have to be able to defend yourself.
Y'all call it the hood in Mexico?
The hood, yeah.
You call it the hood?
Yeah,
you from the hood? You from the hood?
So, you know, since only a very early age, I remember that I had to learn to defend myself. And I went to different classes of, you know, doing different stuff. And once I started learning how to defend myself, I love fighting. I thought it was fun.
Right.
Somebody was saying something to a friend of mine. I was like, hey, what's going on? And it was, you know, that's just the way I grew up.
I think that's a good quality as a race car driver.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to need it.
Okay, so 40 drivers, 40 teams, correct? Yeah. All right. You're up there, heavyweight champion of the world. I'm the heavyweight champion of the world.
Well, I'm not.
No. Stay with me. Stay with me, Mr. Humble Man. Heavyweight champion of the world. Your first fight, who you taking on? Who you think is worthy to step in the ring with you?
From drivers?
Yes, drivers, yes.
I would say that I can take down probably 90% of them.
Oh, okay, Nate. All right, first fight. Who we looking at? First fight. I'm going to make the fight. I'm Don King. We're out here in Vegas.
Let's do the opposite. I'm going to tell you who I think it will be tough.
All right, that's fine.
Because I feel like 90% is that. You know, if you look to... I won't be very humble with this, but I thought Michael McDowell was going to be tough, and I put him in the ground. Because he's quite bigger than me. But there is a few drivers out there that they weigh quite a bit more than me. You know, I weighed only 165 pounds, so I'm not a big boy.
But you're quick, though.
I'm quick, so I can hit and run.
Yeah. No, don't run. Just hit, move, weave, hit him again. Yeah. All right, come on, who's tough? Who's tough?
Ryan Newman
is one guy that I would have respect because this
sorry for my French, but this
MF, he weighs 100 pounds more than me.
So that's the thing, because we all fought. Everybody fought.
Fred ain't fight nobody.
Because Fred got detained one time by the police.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's the one time. I like telling that story.
But no, I do it. As a big dude, I do it when I walk in the room. I look around I look at guys that I think, hey, if it hits the fan, this is the guy that I got to hit first. Yep. Because this dude's going to be the biggest threat.
Let me just grab him first.
Who's the threats? Because you were getting into Ryan it. Newman you were getting into it. Who's the threats, man?
Let me tell you a story, man.
You and your story.
This is a good one. This was my, I was in high school. You know, in high school, when you're in the hood, you have always this kind of like confrontation sometimes with the whole with high school from different towns.
Right, neighborhoods.
And we were in a break. I was with my friends, and there was a pickup truck that went by our high school with some kids, and they started throwing some eggs at us. So the same day, there were like not too many, like probably 5-7 eggs. They didn't hit anyone. So the same day, I've been always, this is something about me, I've been always a leader. Like when it comes to, I used to play soccer, I used to play basketball, I never played football, but I was always, actually I was the captain of the team, and not because I was good, because I was good, you know, working with people and motivated and going, you know. So when this happened, I started organizing my friends. Hey man, we're gonna go tomorrow morning at X time, and we're gonna kick their butt because they came here. Man, long story short, next day, I say, okay, X time, and you bring some friends, I bring some friends. There you have like 25 kids. We went to one store, they ran out of eggs. We had to go to a second one. I had what we call in Mexico an halcón. Do you know what is an halcón?
No.
Halcón is when you have somebody inside the other place telling you the information. Mm.
Informant. You had an informant. Okay.
So one of my good friends was in the other school. What time these guys are going to be out? So they say, okay, 11. So I knew that we had to leave because we had to walk like 30 minutes. So here you have 25 kids. Each of us had at least a few eggs. I had two bags. And they were leaving for break. Man, we attacked those kids. And then the police came running after us. And no, man. My mom was cooking food for me and my sister that we were in high school together. She saw me on the news.
That's the worst way.
And I remember that's the last thing I did like big. That was big. Luckily, I was an adult. I was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I couldn't go to a real jail. I was going to the jail that you give $50 and you're out.
Right.
So, same jail friend with
So my father got me out, and he told me, because at the time I was already racing good in Mexico, and I had the sponsors and everything. And my father, that's the thing that hit me pretty good, because I was always like a very imperactive kid. And my father told me, if you keep doing this, because it wasn't the first time, you're going to lose your career. I mean, you're very good, but you're going to mess it up. Mm. And I stopped after that. I told my friends, I'm retiring.
retiring from the streets.
You know, all this stuff that happens is...
All right, just to end the show for us. Who are you fighting in the first fight?
You want somebody? Somebody tough or somebody medium?
No, the first fight, it's an easy win.
Oh, easy win?
Yeah. Well, you already...
Wallace.
Ooh. Oh! It was a curveball!
Bubba! That's because that's your boy. That's y'all boys. That's why you just keep doing that.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.